I had a smart person that I've known for a long time hit me up about 30 minutes before the draft, and he said, it's going to be Willits. Now, there had been some, as my dad likes to say, there's been some Buttlescutt before that might be a thing that they liked him. They were high on him, and they were into it, into Willits, the player, not just the other stuff, and we will talk about the other stuff here in a moment, but they liked Willits. He said, this is going to be the pick. And I went, how sure are you? And he's, you know, told me a pretty high percentage. So I, you know, I was busy with kids. I was on a walk with my 5-month-old, and I didn't tweet it out. Thought about saying, hey, I heard from somebody, but yeah, it's one of those things that who cares if I'm right or wrong? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's sure enough, it was Willits. First reaction, and then subsequent pondering. What are your thoughts?
First reaction. So I had the opportunity to potentially tip the pick off, and I was like, I don't really love doing that. So I was like, I'll pass. I just want to see it and get my live reaction just from watching the draft. And watching it, I was hoping that you were going to hear Ethan Holiday. I was maybe expecting that you were going to hear Kate Anderson. But so many people acted like Eli Willits was this massive shocker. And I think for the people that were up on the stage, for the people that were covering it, that aren't day in, day out with the Nationals, were pretty shocked. Being around and hearing some stuff, I wasn't overly shocked that they went with Willits. That being said, I wasn't like, we got our guy when they drafted the dude number one overall. And because I didn't have that reaction, I don't love the pick, Danny. When you draft number one overall, and I get when this team has had number one overall picks in the past, they got lucky in that they were years with Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper. I could have walked the card up there. We all knew. There's nothing difficult about evaluating those guys. You knew those guys are going to be studs. It was different this year. I get that. But if they would have drafted Ethan Holiday, I would have clapped my hands, stood up, cheered, whatever. If they drafted Kate Anderson, I would have tipped my cap. When they drafted Eli Willits, I kind of sat there and said, And that right there is why I don't love the pick. Not to say that it's the wrong pick. We got plenty of time to decide if that's going to be the case or not. I would have gone with Ethan Holiday. It just, to me, when you have the number one overall pick, that's when you don't fool around and try to do extra stuff. And you can see the plan with what they're trying to do. Because if you look at the rest of what they've done the rest of day one, you look at what they've done so far today in the rest of the MLB draft, it looks like they're going to go over slot in rounds 3, round 4, round 5, and you've got some potentially really, really good high school two arms and a bat that potentially could be really, really good. But to me, you take the best player available at number one overall, and I'm not fully buying the thing that they're selling, that this was their number one on the board. And I would have gone Ethan Holiday because he was at the top of my list.
So when you say what they're trying to do, explain that to folks.
Yeah, so you're given a draft pool, right? You're given X amount of dollars. I don't know exactly what their draft pool is. I'd have to look it up. But you're given X amount of dollars. And so each pick has a slotted amount that you're due or what you're expected to get. And so if you're going out there, you can decide to go multiple ways. You could just keep drafting guys that are going to be valued at the slot that they're taken at, or you can take guys that are quote-unquote underslot, which Eli Willits would be, which their second-round pick would be. And you can save a little bit of cash so that when you draft guys in the third, fourth, and fifth round who are supposed to go to Mississippi State or Mississippi, you have to be able to give them a nice signing bonus to say, hey, don't go to college. Come play for us. Remember, this happened with Travis Sikora a couple of years ago where they took some, I don't know if they really saved because they drafted Dylan Cruz in that draft, so they didn't really have savings, but they were able to take the money that they still had and give it to Sikora, and they walked away with a guy that was potentially going to go to college that decided not to and sign with the Nationals. So you can see the plan there, and if that's their reasoning, Danny, if they're looking at it saying we're going to go under slot with the first overall pick to set up a good draft class, I just can't get on board with that. I'm not going to say, I was thinking about this all day because I've talked about it with Grant already with our Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast and everything. It's not that I hate the pick. It's not that I like the pick. I disagree with the pick because this is a top five guy.
This is an important distinction.
Like, this is a top five dude. This is a guy that would have been gone by, you know, the fifth or sixth
four
pick.
Or five.
Yeah, so like, it's not like they just Anthony Bennett this thing with like the Cavaliers years ago. Like, that's not what happened here. But I would have gone a different direction because I didn't view Willits as the top guy in the draft. And when you have the number one overall pick, I think you have to go with the top guy in the draft. And there's a couple of reasons why, too. So people immediately go to long term. And immediately, we're going to have to get to the Scott Boras side of this in a second. I don't want to go there just yet. But to me, we were having this discussion weeks ago. Would you go Anderson? Would you go Holiday? And Willits wasn't really a part of that yet. I would have been fine with either of those guys because the two things that cost money in free agency are power and pitching. Ethan Holiday gives you power. Cade Anderson gives you pitching. Eli Willits gives you neither. Now, to Eli Willits' credit, he gives you the other four tools, but he doesn't give you the power. The other thing that has to go into consideration here, they drafted number one overall this year. They cannot draft any higher than 10th next year. You look back at Dylan Cruz's draft. They drafted second, right? They weren't good enough to, you know, they weren't bad enough or good enough to be drafted 10th, right? But they drafted 10th because that's as high as they could because of the MLB draft lottery. They drafted first this year. They're going to draft at the earliest 10th next year. Okay, well then, why would you then not take the best player available when you only get every other year to be up there at the number one overall pick? And to me, that was Ethan Holiday. And I just don't believe that they looked at it and said, Ethan Holiday is not better than Eli Willits. And if that's the case, and they view it, then we're going to have plenty of years to now evaluate whether they were correct or not. But I just didn't see it that way.
It is impossible not to ask questions here. And if this is purely a baseball scouting or analytical, whatever you want to call it, whatever your metrics decision, where they preferred one over the other, that's a good sports discussion, right? What you hope is it's scouts, it's pocket protector guys, it's MIT nerds, and a couple of, you know, old dogs that smell like skull arguing each other about a player. I like Holiday. I like Willits. And if that prevails, that's fine. It's this organization. It is. It's impossible not to ask the questions about money. It's impossible not to ask the questions about Boras, whom you just hinted at. And look at this objectively as a, I like this pick over that pick, right? Does that make sense? So to me, it's not as if I hate the player. I like the player. I mean, again, I'm also not a scout. I'm not out there on the road with a stopwatch and pad and paper. I've seen the same highlights, read the same things as you guys. But that's what I don't know. And that uncertainty turns me off on this pick. The safe 1-1 pick, quote unquote, if there is such a thing, in a year where there's no Bryce Harper, no Strasburg, who you touched on, is what's the home run, for lack of a better pun? What's the guy that if he's on your team is an MVP candidate? Who's got the highest ceiling in this draft? I don't think it's Willits. If they do, great baseball discussion. Impossible to ignore the other stuff. So let's get to the other stuff. What is it? List it out for me. I think it's Boras, right? Impossible to ignore that. And I think it's the underslot signability we can have more elsewhere, which I'm doing at 10. They did that smartly last year when they took Seaver King, took Caleb Bluma-Vita later on in the draft. Fine, you can go over slot. Not at 1-1. That's not pussyfooting time. That's not mess around time. That's the, this is my cornerstone. And if you don't have him for life, you're not going to build a statue of him because he's a Boras guy, then get your 4.5 years of service time and spin him. Or if you're good, God willing, which it looks like whether they will or won't be, who knows what kind of plan they're able to execute. The point is, it is a really valuable asset for you, either in him, the player, or in him, the guy that you trade. You take the best player. And if they don't think it's him, totally fine. Because they're scared from Elijah Green. They're scared from some of the swing and miss. They're scared that, you know, who knows? And they liked Willits better. Fine, but it's impossible not to ask those questions.
Yeah, and to me, the thing that's so interesting about this is both these high school bats, Willits, who they ultimately took, and Ethan Holiday, both of them have professional bloodlines. So Willits' dad played in the bigs for a couple of years. He's a coach at Oklahoma. So, you know, some of the stuff that I'm about to say about Holiday applies to Willits as well. But if I were taking Ethan Holiday, part of the reason that I have some hope in him being the star that we all see the potential that he could have is the fact that his dad is going to be a major part in his development. I talked about this before. It was kind of up and down, whether it was Anderson or whether it was Holiday. And the thing that sold me, Danny, had nothing to do with Ethan. The thing that sold me was Jackson Holiday was scuffling again in April. He's kind of struggled in his big league career. And I don't know what his numbers are now. But I remember hearing from, I think it was maybe the Orioles broadcast or from Jackson or whatever, and he had an incredible month of May. And they asked him, like, hey, what changed? He said, yeah, my dad called down, said, hey, you're doing this, and let's work on trying to do this, or there's whatever it may be. And what do you know? He has an incredible month of May where he's one of the best second basemen in the league. You have that resource along with your development. You have that resource along with it. And I get a guy that could have potential 35-40 homer power. We're talking about Eli Willett's maxing out his power at 20, Danny, and that's being generous?
Yeah.
15, 20?
And that's not who he is, and it's not fair to the kid.
Correct. But, right. I'm not bashing him, but right. You can't sign a 40-homer bat, Danny. You can't. If they're going to operate the same way that they are, and we have no reason to assume that they're going to change anything, they can't sign an Ethan Holiday. There's a potential down the line they could sign an Eli Willett. I think plain and simple, that's the easiest way to put it.
That's a great way to quantify it.